Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rates and Lanes with your hosts, Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rates and Lanes podcast. I'm your host, Rico Muhammad. I'll be joined shortly by my co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow, here in just a few minutes. And we are merging onto the highway. We want to thank you guys for tuning in and listening to us, whether you're listening to us live or you're listening to a download later on in the week or later on tonight. We definitely appreciate it. If you want to get involved tonight, all you have to do is press the number one. That puts you in the call screeners queue. We'll know to get you up and on board and try to get you involved. You can ask a question or you can make a statement, whichever one you would like to do. Tonight we're being joined by good friend of the show, very special guest, Mr. David Owen of NASPIC. You guys know that we are big NASPIC component, cheerleaders over here. I'm actually a member of NASPIC, and if you are not a member of NASPIC and you have your own trucking company, you have your own authority and all that stuff, and you are buying fuel and you're not able to utilize and get the discounts at the pump that you would like to get, I encourage you, get a hold of NASPIC. It's kind of a really great one-stop shop for not only all of your, getting discounts on trucking as far as maintenance. They have discounts on helping you if you wanted to buy some equipment. They even have some contacts to help you out with that as well. They can help you out with a whole cross-section of things, and I'm sure David's going to tell us all about those things as we're gearing up for their national convention coming up here soon. But before we get into all that, let's get into this week's DAT Trendlines reports from the previous week. And we are showing that the national average price of diesel fuel has slowly crept up by 0.3 percentage points. We're showing that the national average price for diesel fuel sits at $3.38 per gallon nationwide. Refrigerated markets heat up as temperatures cool. Reefer rates typically fall before ramping up ahead of Thanksgiving, but not this year. The current spot market rate has rallied and tested new levels each week. And just like the volumes of imports from the West Coast and large container ships await to unload, it's breaking records almost daily. Dry van freight is moving with a lot more urgency this fall, and with national average van rates holding steady and almost double that on some high volume lanes, e-commerce lanes, reefer carriers are taking advantage of the fast moving dry freight bottom. So with that being said, let's take a look and see how those rates were performing over each segment type, starting out with the dry van segment. Looking up in that northeastern corridor, we're showing that the national average outbound freight price coming out of the northeast is averaging $2.57 per mile for dry vans. Dropping down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states, we're showing that the national average price for dry vans, spot market rates for dry vans, is at $2.75. Moving up into the Midwest, we're showing that the national average spot market rate for dry vans is $3.03. That leads the nation. Moving down to the South Central region, we're showing an outbound spot market rate of $2.57. And wrapping up, coming out of the West Coast, we're showing an average outbound spot market rate for dry vans at $2.93. Changing gears and shifting over to the flatbed segment, we're showing that the national average price coming out of the northeastern corridor for flatbeds is at $2.89, and moving down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states, we're showing that the national average price for flatbeds is at $3.23. Moving up into the Midwest, showing that the national average outbound rate is at $3.26. That leads the nation. Moving down to the South Central region, we're showing that the national average is $3.04. And coming out of the West Coast, we're showing that the average is sitting at $2.75. And jumping over into that temperature-controlled or reefer portion of the report, wrapping it up for this week is the coming out of the northeastern corridor for the spot market rate is at $2.89. coming out of the Southeast and Mid-Atlantic states were showing that the average outbound spot market rate is 281. Moving up into the Midwest was showing that the average outbound spot market rate for reefers is at 353. That leads the nation. Coming out of the South Central region was showing that the average outbound spot market rate is 295. And wrapping up, coming out of the West Coast, we're showing that that national average rate is 338 coming out of the West Coast. And that will wrap up this week's DAT Trendlines report. And without any further ado, let me go and grab my co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow. Good evening, Chuck. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good, Rico. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm recovering from wisdom tooth surgery. I had a couple of wisdom tooth removed this past weekend. So you might hear a slight little slur or something like that. Just, you know, don't worry about it. We trying to.
Rico, I got to say, I'm really excited. I'm excited about our guest tonight. David Owen, he's brilliant, and he's going to talk about the convention in November, which we all want to hear about. But he's always got so much great insight into stuff. Let's bring him on because he is just so generous with his time and his knowledge. He's a good friend of the show, as you said. And I want to hear all about the convention because I'm hoping to go down this year. I'm damn well going down. And by the way, before I welcome David on, any of our Canadian listeners that are listening tonight, if you're going down to the NASDAQ convention, make sure you do your homework first about downloading the CanArrive app and getting the COVID tests the way you're supposed to, because if you don't, you will be in big doo-doo, and they have to let you back into Canada. But if you don't have everything done and you don't want to do it and go back to the States and do it, there's a $6,200 fine waiting for you. So, just boys and girls, listen to me, and I hope some of our Canadian friends will join me at the NASDAQ convention. But do your homework first. Find out what you need from both the U.S. and Canadian government. Travel is not like it, or cross border travel is not like it was before. So, with no further ado, David, thank you for joining Rico and me tonight, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Chuck. Great job. Appreciate that. Appreciate all the nice words. Glad to be here. I was telling Rico before you came on that I'm at an age where I can't remember anything. So, I mean, I knew I was supposed to be on tonight, and I immediately made arrangements to take my wife and another couple to eat. And Amanda, who is more than my right brain right through this gap, actually tracked me down, got me out of the restaurant, and I'm sitting in my car outside the restaurant talking to you guys while my dinner guests are eating my food.
Well, I hope I ordered your steak the right way.
I already told Rico when I get through, I'll go in and tell him to put it in a box and take it home and heat it back up. But I love being on your show. It gives me an opportunity to talk about NASDAQ a little bit. As you well know, we're in our 33rd year of existence.
Wow.
Buster Anderson and I started NASDAQ in 1989. And we evolved over the years, and we really have, I think, made a difference to our member companies as far as their bottom line, their operating ratio, their ability to compete, and ability really. And one of the things that I stress all the time, and it's gotten down even to small carriers, but the one thing that separates our type of company, particularly in the full truckload long haul market, is the ability to find good people to drive your trucks. And I say it that way because I've discovered that pretty much in trucking now, you've got to get, find a good person and then coach him, clone him, teach him, or work with him until you're convinced that he's going to drive the truck and represent your company in a manner that you want him to. And you can't just assume that he's going to do that automatically. And the ones that do, particularly with small carriers, you know, one bad driver in a 10-truck fleet can eliminate your profit margin in a week. So that's a big part of our deal. And also, as we've, one of the things that I like about being on your show and actually being on the, I have a regular radio show on the Dave Nemo Sirius XM 146 Mondays, 9 o'clock Central Time, 146 Sirius XM, called Safety, Compliance, and Common Sense. And in that program and this program, I feel like I'm getting to talk to drivers, and not just company owners, but drivers who are owners and owners who are drivers. So it's as Dan, my friend Dan Baker, always said over and over and over again, it's all people, y'all, and we're in the driver business, and we're in the driver business is the people business. And the people business is the relationship business. So we've been developing relationships and learning about trucking from drivers and small business owners, and not from some college graduate with a transportation degree that thinks that's never driven a truck or never run an operation or never dispatched or never done anything but look in a book. And quite frankly, the book way just doesn't work when it comes right down to it. This is an industry that is built on, learning the skills required over a long period of time.
100%. And, you know, our industry does need those people that have gone to post-secondary education and their accountants and a myriad of other professionals. We need them, but we can't do anything without the man or the woman behind the wheel of the truck, because they're never going to have trucks running up and down interstate highways without people in them. That's a dream.
One of the mistakes, I think, that big trucking companies and over-educated people, if you will, I'm not bad-mouthing education, by the way, but one of the mistakes they make is talking down to drivers. They do all the talking, and they don't do any listening. And our guys, all trucking companies in long haul just about started out with one truck and one trailer and one driver. And, our guys really do know what they're talking about, and sometimes it behooves us to shut up and listen. And right through this gap, I wish the federal government, the FMCSA, and all the people that are trying to shove a lot of really bad ideas down transportation's throat would just shut up and listen, or just shut up and get out of our way and let us do our jobs.
Hallelujah. I can't argue with that. What you say is very true. I think that people in general need to learn by listening. But we all have so much to, we want to get our points across so badly that we won't take the time to listen. You know, my grandmother always said, God gave you two ears and one mouth. Listen.
I honestly believe that in today's world with cell phones and email and immediate gratification and getting your information on 24-hour news or 24-hour weather or 24-hour sports, I think people have, a lot of people, I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of people, particularly younger people, it seems like to me, have lost the art of listening. And it's a shame. Just like a lot of people have lost the art of reading and lost the art of writing. And it's all tied together. I had a grandmother that that said it another way. She said, "David, you'll never learn anything with your mouth open."
Same thing. Yes, those are wise people. You know, you look where those people had come from. They had lived through two world wars and a major financial depression. And they could still find comfort and happiness and wisdom, of course, because they survived all of that, you know. And here we are, we're being asked to just behave ourselves through a pandemic, and the government is willing to, in most cases, has been very generous in both our countries, maybe too generous, you know, in some cases. And looked after people. People that lost their jobs didn't go hungry on the street. The government printed enough money in both your country and my country to keep people fed. So, in the words of and I don't remember what country this gentleman was from, but he was one of the leaders from Africa. He's very eloquent in what he said. He said, "You know, this is our third world war, basically this pandemic. Nobody's asking you to pick up a machine gun. There's no bullets or bombs being launched at you. There's no mustard gas like there was in World War One. All the people are asking you to do is to wear a mask, social distance, you know, wash your hands, and get vaccinated. And people don't want to do it." And you know what? The guy was right on the money. I'm sorry, I hope I didn't offend anybody, but I do believe he was right, and people don't want to do it. So it just says a lot about our society.
I can't speak for anybody else, and I have a lot of respect for people's privacy and also people's freedom to take care of their own health. I don't need anybody to tell me to wash my hands, and I don't believe that the mask has really made any big difference. But my wife and I are at an age where we did everything we're supposed to do. We sequestered. We went NASTIC, went viral. I've got four companies in NASTIC. We went viral, and we went got out of the office and went home. For 75 or 80 days the first time around, within 2 days. And then the second time around, we did the same thing, and we were in there for about 85 days. My wife and I literally did not go out of the house but once or twice in 75 days. Matter of fact, I was amazed that our relationship was that strong. we were nominated for the finals of couples in what is called hall sex, which I won't describe on the air, but and then we, just as soon as we could, we got the shots, and but if anybody, you know, and I try to stay abreast of the facts, and you know me, I'm kind of I'm a curmudgeon. I'm at an age where I question everything, and I watch these college football games every Saturday, and I see 100,000 young people jumping all over themselves, and you think they've banned kissing at the frat parties and stuff like that, and they don't seem to be getting sick or dying or whatever. At least I'm not hearing about it. The statistics that we've gotten through this pandemic have been so perverted, in my opinion, and so confusing. Actually, I think our governments at all levels, federal, local, state, and everywhere, are scared, were scared to death and really didn't know what to tell us and what not to tell us.
I agree with you, but I think we're
on the other side of it. I know we are in Tennessee, and if when I see 100,000 20 years old elbow to elbow in a deal, and I know they're leaving the ball game, and they're going to go to the frat house and have a party in more ways than one, and they're not getting sick. I think we're over the curve. Now, people, I'm not belittling the impact this COVID has made, particularly in some countries and in some parts of the United States. I think in some parts of the United States, the thing was mishandled very poorly. It's handled very poorly, and I don't have to tell you that New York and New York City got a failing rate on how they handled the whole thing. And I think a lot of people got sick and a lot of people died up there because of a mishandled deal. However, that's armchair quarterback, and that's after the fact, and that's water under the bridge. What I hate about that is a bunch of New Yorkers are now trying to move down here to Tennessee, and I don't like that a bit.
Well, you know what? Compared to the price of housing in Manhattan, I know housing's not cheap down in Tennessee, but it's a bargain compared to Manhattan. If you ever look to see what they pay for a little apartment there, oh my God, it's insane.
I don't know why anybody, and I don't want to bang up North New York. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of fine people there and a lot of fine things there, but I don't know why anybody would want to live in a place where, number one, you can't have a car. You do have a car, you can't find a place to park it. If you do have a car, you can't park it on the street because the window's going to get broke or it's going to get vandalized. You're going to pay $10,000 a month for a duplex. I just don't see the attraction. I'm partial. I'm kind of like Brother Dave Garner, who said that he thought the world was a southern planet that don't give those other cats no strength.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So I'm looking forward to you guys getting down here in November for our conference. It's the 4th, 5th, and 6th of November. And I'm not kidding you, we've hit it so far out of the park. And Chuck, can I tell them how I got you to come?
Yes, you go ahead, please.
Well, I called Chuck to invite him down or find out if he was coming down. And he said, well, he wasn't sure whether he could get down here because the way he phrased it was because my country had some problems with him coming down because of COVID. And I said, really? And he said, oh, yeah, they won't let me fly. I said, well, that's a shame because I was going to make you our NASDAQ Best Broker of the Year. All of a sudden, everything changed. He said, I'll be there. I don't care how I get there.
I'll be there.
And he tested the waters about sneaking into the United States last week and found out that it was his government that didn't want to let him back into Canada.
You got it. Oh, my God. So, if I was telling you at the beginning of the show, ladies and gentlemen, any Canadians going down to the NASDAQ convention, which is always, I've been down to a few of them, number one, they are highly, highly educational. You're going to learn a lot of things. And you're going to meet a lot of people. Great for networking. And it is just a great time. And one of the things that David did, I remember about 3 or 4 years ago, the first time, he did a show at the end of the driver appreciation luncheon. They do a wrap-up luncheon on the Saturday, and they present several truck drivers with an award. Now, some of these people that come up have got four, and this is the odd one, 5 million miles of safe driving, and they get an award, and they're recognized throughout the convention. They get recognition, which they deserve every bit of. But at the end of it, David gets some talent in there, some local talent from Nashville, and it is unbelievable. As a matter of fact, when I was driving from Vancouver back to Ontario through the States, I do listen to satellite radio, and I had it installed in my new truck. And one of the people that you had playing a few years ago, who's a writer, he's like a blue blood of the country and Western or country music industry.
Hawkins.
You got
Jr.
it.
Yeah.
You got it. And yeah. I heard him on the radio, and I thought, geez, what a voice. And then I look, because on the satellite, it tells you who it is. I said, I watched him. I was like 10 feet away from where he was playing. You know, that's how close I sit. So this year, David, tell me about your entertainment lineup, because it's pretty phenomenal.
Well, I'm looking at our newsletter that just went out like day before yesterday, Friday. And on the cover, it kind of gives a wrap-up. I'm going to start with Thursday night. Our keynote speaker is Governor Mike Huckabee. And then on Friday, after the Dave Nemo Show, is going to be interviewing all of our guests live from 6 to 10 on Friday. And then there'll be about a dozen breakout sessions that'll range with people like Donald Broughton, Homer Hogg, Henry Seaton, Jeff Davis, Joe Rakovich, Jim Edwards, Rick Doddle, David Owen, and so on. Then on Friday night at the Country Music Hall of Fame CMA Theater, which is one of the most beautiful venues you've ever seen, holds about 800 people. It's very intimate, but it's very beautiful. We're going to have not just a songwriter's grand old trucking show like we did it, have done in the past, which was fabulous. This year we're having a grand old trucking concert. And we're going to have Brad Morgan, who you've heard, Chuck. He's been in Lindsay Lawler, who you've heard. Tony Justice, who's been playing country, trucking country music for 25 or 30 years. Billy Dean, who's been playing country music for about 25 or 30 years. John Snyder, who from Dukes of Hazzard, who is phenomenal, if you've never heard him. And headlining with Winona Judd.
Wow.
And so how about that?
Wow.
You think?
That's...
And then on Saturday, we're going to have an hour and 15 minute presentation by Donald Broughton, who's maybe one of the smartest economists in the country.
Yes.
Followed by Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Carson is going to address us once again. I was lucky enough to get him about 8 or 9 years ago, and he's coming back and will be with us on Saturday. So I don't know what I'll do next year. I think I'll just retire, Chuck.
You're too young.
I mean, that's all I got left. It's going to be remarkable. And we're also recognizing, because of last year, a lot of people had to cancel their events.
Of course.
And T.A. Petro was one of those. And so this year we're going to recognize the two T.A. Petro Citizen Drivers of the Year. We're going to recognize Women in Trucking Driver of the Year. And we're going to also, we've invited back the 16 or 17 Drivers of the Year from last year who didn't get to come to Nashville because they were COVID-ing out. And we're going to recognize them and another 20 new Drivers of the Year this year. Our 20 Drivers of the Year that we're honoring this year have almost 60 million accident-free miles.
Whoa.
I think 58 point something or 59. It's right at just under 60 million accident-free miles. and we'll be like you say, we really get a kick out of making these guys feel like Mickey Mantles and Roger Maris and embarrassing them somewhat, because most of them are introverted, most of them don't like attention, and we violate them that way, but they enjoy it, and they, I think at the end of the day, they really appreciate being recognized. So, I've never felt this way. We've done about 27 or 28 of these annual conferences, but we're going to have twice as many people here as normal. We're at the Omni Hotel, which is right. People will not even have to go outside to go from the Omni to the Country Music Hall of Fame where the concert is. There's a boardwalk or walkway across Fifth Avenue there. So, or fourth, it was at fourth or fifth, I'm not sure. Fourth Avenue, I guess. Anyhow, I'm excited.
Wow.
And it's still 6 weeks away, and I've always said it's the best 3 days in trucking.
It is.
And I think this year it's just gonna, we've really hit it out of the park. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Well, you know what? It really is the best 3 days of trucking because, you know, Matt's doesn't do it. It's a great show, and I'm not saying anything bad about Matt's. It's actually by far the best truck show. But as far as an exhibitor at Matt's, the first day is awful because you lose 3/4 of the day to VIPs, and if you're out in the back section where we usually are next to the people from Pittsburgh Power, you don't get anybody hardly. And then the second day is really good. That's the Friday. That's phenomenal. And the third day is all people that are grabbing pens and Boy Scouts. So you really get one good day at MAPS as an exhibitor. Your venue is 3 action-packed days. You know, it's all, there's great, you know, I love listening to your guest speaker, you know, people like Homer Hogg. You learn so much from people like this. And Hank Seaton,
yeah.
You know, funny story, Hank is a, he's a regular on this podcast. And I was sitting in front of a lecture of Hank's. I had never met him before. And he looked, and I had asked him a couple of questions during the lecture. And at the end of it, I went over to him and said, that was a really good lecture you gave. And he said, Snow, Traffics, are you any relation to Doc Snow? I said, yeah, that's my son. He said, he drove me from a function in Toronto to the airport last week. Talk about a small world story. My son and him were at the same function that this lawyer, this transportation lawyer that we know, Richard Landy, a friend of ours, was having. And I think Hank may have been up there speaking, and he needed to get to the airport. And my son was talking to him. He said, here, let me drive you. I'm going right by there. So it's just such a – trucking is such a small world. That's what I love about it, you know. Everybody is somehow related, you know. It's just weird.
And you'll never know. And Hank has been our transportation attorney for 31 years, maybe 32. Hank and I have, back in the old days, we were it. We were all there was representing small trucking in Washington. Hank has probably done more. There's a small group of people, and I'd say Hank is one of them, and Rick Gobble is another. But
yep.
There's a small group of people that Jeff Davis comes to mind. But
right.
There's a small group, Homer Hogg, who you mentioned. But there's
yep.
a small group of people that have given so much. I bet you Hank has given $3 million worth of pro bono legal advice to NASTIC members over the years. Rick Gobble has, no telling how much time he's donated to getting people in and out of trouble in trucking.
Yeah.
He
was just on last week. He was on this show.
Oh, Rick was?
Yeah, he is such a wonderful resource. a great man.
Oh, absolutely. Well, both Hank and Rick will be at our show. Both of them have breakout sections. I'm doing, as you know, I'm doing a breakout session with our best brokers, and I'm also doing a I'm doing two breakout sessions this time. But one of the things that I want, and one of the reasons why I really, really, really wanted to get you down here, is we're kicking off. We're finally ready. We have been working on what NASDAQ calls our membership portal, and we think trucking at some point in time will be totally. You'll have some kind of device in your truck, and you'll have, you know, 22 buttons on it or 54 buttons on it, and each of those will be an app, and that's how you'll run your business, and you can do it from the cab of your truck. Well, we want NASDAQ members to have a membership portal where they can access all the 25 things that we do from the cab of their truck, and we're going to talk about this. We've been talking about it it's been a dream of mine for 30 some years, but we're going to talk about what I'm calling Lodestar, Lodestar, which is going to be a way to get more and more and more of our trucks and drivers under load from more and more and more of our best brokers freight. And that Lodestar is an acronym for it's the NASDAQ Lodestar program, and it stands for Load Opportunities, Data Exchange, Shipping Terms and Rates. And it will be a database that is going to be accessed through that membership portal. And we will exchange documents. We will, you know, there's all kinds of things we can do there. We're not trying to get in the middle of the transaction. We're not trying to even be a load board. Matter of fact, you mentioned the load board, and I know a little bit about load boards. That's how I got introduced to the trucking industry. And but I think load boards, you know, are one of those things that have almost gotten so daggum big that they've lost their punch. They really, people use load boards now to look at trends, not to load their trucks. And the other thing that I'd like to say, this thing, this Lodestar concept, Lodestar, is going to be available only to NASDAQ members and NASDAQ best brokers. And so it's going to be kind of a closed network. It's not going to be an open board. And right. Within a closed network, you can do things that you can't do when you're open to the general public, like control the behavior of some of you guys. And I'm not saying y'all do this, but a lot of people do. On a load board, you'll have a load coming out of Nashville. You'll list it like it's 10 loads from 10 destinations around the city of Nashville. And that's just one little thing. But by designing our data exchange and our load opportunities, if you will, we can address things like pay. We can address things like fuel surcharges. We can address things like detention. We can address things like on-time deliveries and all of that stuff that's a part and parcel of you guys having a good relationship with our guys. And the truth of the matter is the timing couldn't be better because I'm going to tell you, we're all going to be pressed hard to find good people to drive our trucks. 100%. With the number of people that are coming on board like Amazon, the last mile delivery people, and we're gonna have to figure out a way to keep good people driving long haul trucks, and that's gonna be a challenge for all of us.
Yeah, and it the driver shortage is not going away anytime soon until we change. Well, we have to change the entire model so that everybody gets to sleep in their own bed. We need to stop using $180,000 trucks as hotel rooms for 10 hours a day. It just doesn't work. It's not financially viable. And we need to do things differently. And the industry is under huge, huge change. And we got to figure out how we're going to attract young people back to this industry. You know, years ago, there wasn't there weren't the opportunities that there are today in some ways. And we had the farm kids who were always a great source for the trucking industry, because most farm kids knew how to drive a truck. They're good with equipment. Now what we're doing is we're importing farm kids from Southeast Asia, which is great because they're farm kids. They can drive trucks, but we're running out of them too, because they, you know, the farmers in Southeast Asia, they're under, they're having their own issues. You know, the family farms are getting unmanageable there as well, and they're being bought out by cooperatives and government intervention and every other damn thing. So, you know, trucking is always under threat by something. So we have to figure out what will work, how carriers can get better usage out of their equipment that works financially. And I think that, you know, I think your idea of, quote-unquote, it is somewhat of an inclusive or exclusive load board. The other thing from a carrier side that I really love about you guys having some sort of a load board or whatever we want to call it, what goes on right now, you have some bad carriers out there that are are doing all sorts of shenanigans. They're grabbing loads and they're holding them ransom and they're doing all sorts of stuff. And what they're doing is they're getting licensed carriers who are on the regular load boards to inform them what brokers have what loads. So, and what they look for is they look for, you know, they'll look for a posting where somebody puts dollar signs, you know, like as if they're desperate, and, or they'll see this load that's been on the board all day that hasn't moved, and they will phone. They'll go, yeah, tell me about that load from, you know, Nashville to San Francisco. And the broker is so desperate. He says, what do you want to know? I got to move it. He said, well, how much do you want? You know, meanwhile, the guy doesn't even have a truck. And it goes back to that old thing where he takes the load from the broker for $5,000 and with no intention of putting his own truck on it, offers another guy $9,000 to move it and collects the money from the broker and never pays anybody. And that goes on a lot. And I think that utilizing a NASDAQ system puts an end to a lot of that. And I think that the other brokers out there will recognize that. And the carriers, on the other hand, will recognize that having NASDAQ involved really, really diminishes their chance of fraud. Because the load boards don't really, you know, they don't really police themselves that well. I was at a function several years ago, and the woman that was representing LoadLink, which is the U.S. or the Canadian counterpart to DAT, who was actually, she's no longer with them. She's gone somewhere else. But she was a good friend of mine, and I said, listen, I you know, we're friends, but I'm going to be calling you guys out when I'm speaking tonight, because I was ticked, because we had just gone through a thing where somebody had pulled a fraud on us. And when we went back to LoadLink and said, listen, this carrier's got to get pulled off, they were hesitant. They weren't doing a very good job policing their load boards. Now, maybe they're doing a little better now, but I know for a long time that was part of the issue. And I think that knowing you guys, who you are, and how you run the NASDAQ, I don't think policing this thing is going to be a problem. You know, I've met your members.
We have leverage. We have leverage with you, and we have leverage with our carriers. If our carriers, for instance, like, for instance, Chuck, we have no bad debt. You know, we have a billing relationship with all 14,500 carriers, and we bill them monthly on a lot of different things. We have no bad debt. We write off less than 0.1% of our debt. And the reason being, we have leverage. They've got to pay their bill with us or they don't get to use our fuel program. They got to pay our bill with us or they don't get to use our drug testing program. They got to pay their bill with us or they don't get to use our software. So, I mean, we have leverage with our membership. And we, and you know what? When you have that leverage, it's kind of like dealing from a position of strength. You never have to play that card. You right. never have to play that card. I've got leverage with you, and it's never been a spoken thing, but you know that you don't want to tick me off. You don't want one of my members calling me and saying Chuck Snow screwed me on this load, because you know, without it ever being said, that I'm going to call you and say, Chuck, just tell me what happened. I mean, how did this happen?
Right.
You've never gotten that call, and I've never had to make it. And we've had a relationship with our best brokers now for 28-9 years. I have never had a NASDAQ member company lose a dime, not a dime, from one of our best brokers. That's the kind of quality we've got on your side, and we're hoping to build that kind of quality on the NASDAQ side. Now, it goes back to something that I totally believe to be true. People will respond to how you treat them. If you treat a person, if you treat a person as an equal, as a professional, as somebody that's got a brain, that's somebody that's not a thief, that's somebody that's not going to lie to you, cheat or steal, you treat them that way naturally. Guess what? They become more and more professional by definition. And that goes back to keeping good drivers or getting people to drive your trucks.
That's right. And you know what? No disrespect towards some of the large carriers in the United States. But, you know, the ones that are having 140-150% turnover, the reason is because they're not treating drivers with respect. So the drivers leave.
They actually don't like drivers. I can walk into a trucking company, and the big guys don't have a monopoly on this, by the way. We've got some smaller guys that should be out of the business. If you don't respect drivers, if you don't think it's an honor profession, not a blue-collar ditch digger type job, then you need to get out of the business. You need to sell whatever you got in the business and do something else, because you're going to fail eventually. I can walk into a guy's office, is the first thing out of his mouth is, these drivers are stupid, or these drivers are lazy, or these drivers will lie to you, these drivers aren't worth a damn, blah, 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 blah. That guy, I know, without ever talking to him, is not going to be around long, because he's not going to get good people to drive his trucks by definition.
Because he doesn't respect them. You know? Yeah, I totally agree with you. You better damn well respect those men and women that are out there pounding pavement and putting up with the nonsense of traffic and congestion and the abuse at different warehouses and stuff like that. They go through a lot. It's become a really, really tough job.
Just like I know your audience is not going to totally, nobody totally agrees with anything I say, but there are a lot of people that'll take offense to this. I would not drive as a professional CDL holder. I would not drive for a company that wanted to put an inward-facing camera on me. Not because I'm afraid of being caught being negligent or smoking when I shouldn't be or on the phone when I shouldn't be or whatever, but because it indicates to me that they have to watch me do my job. If I had to stand over somebody's desk at NASDAQ and watch them do their job, I won't ever get anything done. And by the way, they won't be worth a darn to me because they won't do jack.
Well, David, let me tell you the other side of that, all right? Rico, you're going to say something. Go ahead, bud. I'm hogging the mic.
I understand the sentiment of what Dave said, and I kind of agree, but I think that the way that business has been going with these insurance, with the insurance companies kind of requiring some of these things, I understand it's kind of an overreach to it. It's not kind of. It definitely is an overreach. And because, you know, what's going to be enough at some point in time, like what's going to be enough? And I agree with what you're saying there, David. You know, if you hire somebody that's qualified to do the job, they should be able to do the job.
now, Rico, let me clarify. Don't misunderstand me. I did not say outward facing campers.
No, I heard you.
If I had trucks, I'd have outward facing cameras, but I don't. And I ask that question in my new entrance survival training classes every month. I always ask the question: how many of you drivers have driven for companies with inward-facing cameras, and how many of you drivers thought that was a good idea? And I get no hands. I know for a fact that no driver likes it because it by definition it tells him, I've got to watch you to make sure that you don't screw up. And it's not, they say, well, it's to protect the driver. Well, that's not true. It's not to protect. Now, an outward-facing camera can tell whoever wants to pay attention to the real cause of an accident. Unfortunately, the litigious society, they don't care whose fault it is. CSA doesn't care whose fault it is. FMCSA, they don't care whose fault it is. The insurance company is going to roll over like a little baby. They don't care whose fault it is. So what is an inward-facing camera going to solve? Nothing. Drive good people off.
No, let me explain something. The way we had a guest on who's actually, I think, a distant relative of yours. You guys were on together, Tommy Rook. I got to get you guys together because you're both. But anyways, Tommy Rook and I were talking one day, and he said, you know, you need to understand about these inward-facing cameras. And Tommy is he's old school, like I knew his late father, Merle. These guys are old school Southerners. They don't like the idea of, you know, of privacy being invaded. However, we are now living in such a litigious world. The only reason they want that inward-facing camera is if there is a crash to prove that the operator of that truck, wasn't on the phone, wasn't making a sandwich, wasn't reaching over to the glove box to pull out something. To prove their innocence. And that's the only reason for that inward-facing camera. No dispatcher in the entire world has time to be looking at even what's going on inside five trucks. Because if that's what he's doing, he's not dispatching freight. Watching somebody hold the steering wheel and curse at four-wheelers, cutting them off or whatever, you'd go crazy watching that. It's for a catastrophic event. We have, like, what's going on in our world now with people using trucks for suicide attempts and everything else. This is all a brand new world. We never had to deal with this before. And we've all seen those TV. Go ahead, David.
Well, I would have to respectfully disagree with Tommy, disagree with the insurance community. When the insurance community is charging small guys just because they're small or new guys just because they're new, three and four times what they should be paying, when the loss runs are, you know, two or three times better than the big guys, and they're not doing anything about it. When the insurance community is not protecting or not fighting a lawsuit that they should be fighting, when the insurance community is on board with increasing insurance minimums, I'm sorry, Tommy and I probably aren't going to agree on a lot.
Well, Tommy's just calling it the way he's just calling balls and strikes the way he sees it.
I've got the utmost respect for him.
It's not that Tom agrees with it. It's that's why they're doing it, is because, you know, it doesn't, most crashes, according to Tommy and Hank Seaton, are like, you know, well under that $500,000 mark, well under.
99.2% are under the $750,000.
Right.
99.2%.
Right, and even when you write off two trucks and two loads, if there's no serious bodily injury between two trucks and two loads, you could be talking $400,000 or $500,000, okay? So a lot of money, but it's not the end of the world. It's when you have these idiotic nuclear verdicts, like there was one I heard of recently out of Florida, $1 billion. Like, come on. You know, you didn't blow up the Brooklyn Bridge. $1 billion? Like, the number's insane.
Would an inward-facing camera have made a difference?
Well, maybe. Maybe.
How?
I don't know. I'm not an insurance expert. I'm just being the messenger here. and maybe if they could prove that that driver hadn't done anything wrong and he had both hands on the wheels. Now, in this one case I know, a truck driver left Quebec, Canada, and was down somewhere in Dade or Broward County, Florida, and hadn't been to sleep yet. He had driven straight down. So, you know what? He was probably, if he was holding on to the steering wheel, it was probably to stay upright after driving that many miles. And he had, there was two accidents, crashes right at the same time. But, you know, we got to get away. The biggest problem, really, if they could, they legislate everything else, you know, in government these days. Why the heck can't they legislate something, putting a maximum, get rid of these nuclear settlements, and then we can take this concept of inward-facing cameras and throw it down the sewer hole?
It's called tort reform. We've been crying about it. We've been waving our arms and everything else about it for 30, 40 years. It's not just started happening. It's been going on forever.
Well,
and unfortunately, the insurance community is complicit in the whole thing.
I'm looking at the time, gentlemen. We gotta get ready to find us an exit and pull this thing over. But before we do, David, before we let you hop out of the truck with us, we want to give you an opportunity to let everybody know again about the convention, the dates, where if they need to register or anything like that, how do they go about doing all that good stuff. We'll turn the floor over for you and let you get that out.
Okay, it's the dates for the NASTIC annual conference is November 4th, 5th, and 6th. That's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If you need more information about it or you want to talk to somebody at NASTIC, call us at 1-800-264-8580. That's 264-8580. Or go on our website, NASTIC.com. And we'll be glad to talk to you about it. We'll talk to you about becoming a member and being invited. Now, we hold this for our members, but we have some people that aren't members that come, but we like to save those seats for potential members. It's not at all. Which, matter of fact, we still charge the same thing for membership. We charged when I went out with the empty briefcase and got 70 charter members in 6 months. It was $300 then, and now a guy that's with a rare small guy can do it for $250, I think. But anyhow, it's not a lot of money, but it's and truthfully, we don't want everybody to be NASTIC members, or we wouldn't get our deals.
Right.
Anyhow,
exactly.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We appreciate it, David.
Thank you
for
coming on.
Being so gracious,
David,
with your time.
You.
Go enjoy your dinner now.
Y'all take care. And Chuck, make sure you get down
you.
Here.
Oh, I will. I'm not.
I can't guarantee you. I can get you back. I want you to get down here.
Take care,
guys.
Buddy, all the best. Stay healthy.
All right. Take it easy, David. Appreciate it. Chuck, you let the good people know how they can get in contact with you. We got our eyes on a parking spot. We're going to back this puppy in.
Okay, put the flashers on. if you want to call me, my extension is 203. Phone number is 1-800-388-4352. Again, extension 203. Or send me an email. It's just Chuck, TRAFFIX.com. Or you can send me a private message on Instagram, Chuck Snow, CEO. And with that, Rico, let's throw this thing in reverse and put it in the hole.
Absolutely, my friend. We want to thank you guys, the listeners, for taking time out to listen to the show. We definitely appreciate it. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you took a little time to hang out with us, and we're always eternally grateful for you doing so. And with that being said, we want to talk at you guys same time, same place next week. In the meantime, stay safe out there, everybody. Stay healthy. Keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise. God bless you and good night.
Catch you on the flip-flop. God bless.